when people got together, joints were passed around.
Marijuana is a drug with potential health impact.
I have never seen a cannabis overdose.
It's Reefer Madness, the podcast, with Trevor and Kirk.
Kirk,
we're back.
Hey, Trevor, we're back. How are you?
Good. So, as might have been alluded to in a previous episode, my son is now out in the world and earning a living and being a...
Are we getting an Eric update?
We're getting an Eric update.
This could be a future podcast for us.
It could. Where is Eric now? So, he got out of school late January, early February, and now he's trying to get employed and... He'd had a few interviews, but didn't go so well. Then suddenly I got a phone call from my son on a Friday. I'm in Winnipeg Osis, another little satellite store, so there's not much I can do from there. Hi, Dad, I got a job. Great. Can I borrow some winter clothing? Sure. I'm flying to St. Teresa Point. And you're flying where? So, yeah, so he got a job on Monday, on Friday, and on Monday he flew out to St. Teresa Point. So, Kirk, you happen to be somewhat familiar with St. Teresa Point. What or where is St. Teresa Point?
I know St. Teresa's Point very well. It is pretty much central east part of Manitoba. It's a fly-in.
You can actually go south from St. Teresa Point and hit Ontario. It's during that jut out of Manitoba.
Yeah. It's right parallel to that, actually. It's almost right at the elbow of Manitoba. I spent 2 years there working at the nursing station, two in, two out for 2 years. I eventually went into the resource pool, where I flew to 21 of the 22 fly-in nursing stations in Manitoba. But I have a special place in my heart for St. Teresa's Point. So yeah, when you told me that he was going there is to rebuild the bridge, I understand it. Well, not the bridge, the church. Is he working on the church?
Yeah, he was working on the church. Now, he was supposed to be up there for 1 to 2 weeks, but as we've mentioned a couple times, Manitoba's had a weird winter and the ice roads haven't gone in. So he's actually only there for a couple days before they ran out of materials to work on and flew back out. But in the meantime, he managed to pet every res dog that was there. Apparently
a lot of res dogs.
Well, yeah, I think he was in heaven. It freaked his mother out a little bit. They must be all feral. Derek said, well, they're really nice. They came up to me. I petted them. So, yeah, he met a bunch of res dogs, and we mean literal dogs, and worked on a church and flew back. And because I'm a terrible parent, that's the first airplane ride Eric can remember. We flew out to the West Coast to my sister's wedding when he was like one. But, yeah, this little tiny little plane up to St. Teresa Point is his first plane ride that he can remember.
Kind of cool that he was in my old stomping grounds
for a couple days anyway. But now that we've gone completely off the rails,
we got to save this for the Eric podcast. So we have a story. We have a story to tell our listeners about cannabis. Remember,
we do.
We're a cannabis podcast. So you started the story and handed it to me. So you start. How did this story start?
As usual, I run into people on the LinkedIn and ran into Ian Emery, and he's got a company, Tantus Health, and they are doing some interesting stuff. Some of the stuff that sort of immediately leapt out at me was things with Calgary Police and Vancouver Fire, but that's really not where the story starts, Kirk. You're the one who did the actual interview. Where do you want to start with Ian?
Well, let's just start by saying I think this is the first time in 119, 120 episodes that we've actually talked to a medicinal cannabis dispensary, right? Because we've talked to this sort of as a companion piece to episode 96, where we talked to Justina Johnson, but she was a medical cannabis educator from a physician's clinic. This is a fellow that we're actually talking to, a fellow that owns a dispensary. And where does the story start? Well, I like to get the lowdown on our guests. Well, this gentleman was a stand-up comedian for a while, and then I think he went into teaching, or maybe he was a teacher first. But either way, he's a stand-up comedian that went into teaching, that stumbled into the cannabis industry due to a relative using cannabis medicinally. So he's relatively new to the industry, which is kind of cool, because he's still got that enthusiasm, and you can hear it in his voice. He's not, you know, he hasn't been burnt out too badly by the industry, the webs and ups and downs, the ebbs and flows of the industry. However, he does say that Health Canada gave him gray hair, and being an employee of Health Canada for many years, that's probably where the white beard came from. So I relate to that. But yeah, I think we can get into the story and listen to it as another My Cannabis story of a guy that got into the industry and bought his own dispensary.
I think that's a good place to start. Yeah. Let's listen to Ian and Tantus Health.
My name is Ian Emery. I am here in British Columbia, Canada.
What part of British Columbia are you from?
So in the Fraser Valley, right there in Chilliwack, BC. That's where I reside. That's where I do most of my home office work. But our office itself is in British Columbia with Tantus Health Co. That's where we're stationed as a company. We can reach Canada wide. So enjoy home being Fraser Valley, and then move to wherever I need to go to get these meetings done.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And you are a CEO of a medical cannabis dispensary, correct?
Actually, I'm one of the owners. The CEO is my partner, Travis Junk. I pretty much am his right-hand man. He's my right-hand man, and we're going after this together as co-owners of a company and making sure that everyone has an opportunity to work with some educated folks on what medical cannabis is, get the right practitioner in place, and make sure that they have a solid roadmap to their health.
Okay, fantastic. Before we get into your business, I'd like to learn a little bit more about you. You're a father of two teenage children. How did you get into the legal cannabis industry? What was the path that got you there?
Awesome question. We had a family member that was going through cancer. And at that stage of the cancer and their particular age, medical cannabis was the best solution for them at that time. It was turning into an end-of-life event. So as far as getting the education and support, a lot of the work that they had to do was on their own. And that was with my mother-in-law and her sister. And they were nomads getting out there, trying to find a place to work. And I found that that was just not good enough. There's more than one person that can utilize something like this. So that's where Travis and I, we went to friends and family and started this company.
Okay. So you were first introduced to cannabis as medicine, I guess. I mean, did you grow up as cannabis as recreation?
No, never. It wasn't until I was in my late 20s that I actually came across cannabis. It was more of a beer league for me. It was hockey, football, rugby. And so cannabis never really made it into those circles at that time. So it wasn't until into university, outside of university, that recreation started to come my way.
And thank you for segueing into that. You went to university, you're a rugby player, and no offense, you look like a rugby player. Were you in the scrum or were you on the wings?
I was the scrum. I was the scrum.
I was a hooker.
Yeah,
you were
a hooker. Yeah,
I was a hooker.
Front line.
Yeah, grade eight to grade 12. But of course, that only means I was the smallest guy in the group, right? So, what did you do? What did you do in university?
So, all my knucklehead buddies, we all wanted to be teachers. There was a good 20, 30 of us, and they're still doing it today. Some of them are football coaches. Some of them are rugby coaches, and that was our game plan. But once I was in it and I was working on it, I knew that this wasn't where I wanted to be. I was also at that point a stand-up comedian. I was touring with Yuck Yucks and doing some fun stuff across Canada with some stand-up comedy. But once the kids started rolling around, comedy does not pay for family diapers or meals. So it was time for the world of entrepreneur for me. So that's how I kind of segued from being a teacher to an entrepreneur.
Interesting, interesting. But you actually had paying gigs as a comedian, stand up.
So yeah.
Did you ever pass through Manitoba? Yeah.
No, sorry. It was always Alberta, BC, and Ontario. Those were my three main provinces that I worked out of.
So when were you on tour? What years? Maybe some of our audience remember you.
Yeah, so that would have been right out of university, so 96 to 2006, 7. I still do shows from time to time. I just did one there before Christmas. A buddy of mine ran a show and asked if I wanted to come out and do the competition. They had a comedy competition, so joined up. There was a great crowd. 250 folks showed up for a night of laughter, and we had a great time. It was a good competition.
Very cool. And did you make it up to northern Alberta, like north of Edmonton?
No, not north of Edmonton. Okay. I've done Edmonton, I've done Calgary, and I've done all the municipalities in and around Calgary as well.
Okay, cool. No, it's just, I used to live in Alberta. I just wondered if, you know, it's a small world, if I had ever run into you. Again, another place where our paths are crossing. I just joined a comedy troupe myself. We call ourselves Lost in Translation. We are an improv group, a small group out of
nice.
Yeah, we're starting to get paying gigs, so it's quite fun.
Good for you.
Yeah
No, that was one of the other things that I did in Toronto. I did Second City. I did about 3 years with them.
Okay.
Just going through their course, and then there was a troupe that we started up, the Funny Guys, and then we did a bunch of shows across Toronto and did some of that, led into acting, and that's where I made some of my key finance, a nice revenue stream, doing commercials, doing stuff like that. It was a lot of fun. That's when I had no responsibilities and no one to answer to. Those were the good old days.
Well, this obviously explains why you're the face of the company you're now managing. You've got experience.
Yeah, that's right.
You got experience standing up in front of people. So that segues also very nicely. Let's talk about Tantus. And how long have you guys been in business?
We started this project during COVID. So we literally went through the licensing process. I had dark hair at that time. I'm now gray, salt and pepper. Thank you, Health Canada. Shout out to you. But we got our license and launched about 18 months ago. We've been in market. Coming into March, we'll be coming up to 2 years that we've been in market. And like I said off the top, we're just setting up ourselves as a beacon of light of education and support and understanding. A lot of people don't know what medical cannabis can and do for them. So that's why we're getting out there and having these conversations, to let people know that there are options. There are some great options, and you can utilize some of your insurance benefits and health benefits to help with those options. And that's some of the key information that people just don't know about. So that's why we got this started, and this is why we're rolling out here into year three.
Okay, so to sort of clarify, you are exclusively a medical dispensary, so you don't have a storefront.
That's correct. Yep.
Yeah.
In Canada, you're only allowed to have your medical cannabis issued from either a government website or from the LP themselves or someone like me. So we partnered up with Heritage Cannabis. We are their medical site of choice. A lot of their products sit and reside in our marketplace. And a lot of folks actually are searching out across Canada for Heritage Cannabis products, and they end up on our website because of it. So it's a great opportunity to support someone in the market that's doing quality products and getting it to the right people across Canada.
So Heritage, they are the LP. They're the growers for you?
That's right. Yeah, our manufacturing partner.
Okay.
They're located in Kelowna, BC.
Okay.
So in the Okanagan.
So your business model then, you are a dispensary and outlet for one grower, or do you manage other, do you bring in other growers as well?
No, currently this is a great relationship. Everything that Heritage is doing for us and we're doing for them, it's a perfect relationship. They do a phenomenal job in the recreational space, and they've set up a medical division, and I work with their director in some marketing opportunities, just some of the relationships that we're building in market, and they do a great job in making sure that we can properly market the information and get the products into little displays for some of the partners that we're doing, so that people know exactly what we're working with and how we're working in the market with our partner.
Okay, so Heritage is a large LP, an indoor, outdoor, greenhouse?
So they do a lot of indoor, but I would recommend certainly checking them out to see exactly what they're doing in the market. They've got some great relationships that they're building into the U.S. as well. There's been some public announcements on that regards. And I think that's just a great opportunity to work with a company like that, that sees the bigger picture of reaching this on a North American level, not just Canada, but also North American. And that gives us an opportunity to support them where they need to go.
Yeah, that's very cool. I'm going to have to Google Heritage, but I just want to understand your relationship and your business. So you are marketing their medical product. So they're a company that does recreation, so I can go buy their stuff at a rec store, but if I want it through their medical stuff, I get it through you.
That's right. Yep, exactly. Okay. We do a lot of oils from their end. That was a surprise to us. One of the biggest things that we've seen coming into this was a lot of people suffering from sleep deprivation, anxiety, and stress. So, and some of the folks are a little bit older in age. They've never held a pre-roll before or inhaled anything. So a lot of folks were looking for a oil therapy. And so that's been a big one for us, rolling this out.
Okay. One of the things that people always seem to ask me, or I get these statements, you know, and the question is recreational cannabis different than medical cannabis? Is it the actual product that's different, or the concept? In your opinion, as a medical cannabis dispenser, how would you define medical cannabis compared to recreational cannabis?
So this is a big one that comes up often. Recreation, you're doing it alone. You are really relying on that bud tender who's coming in, who's not allowed to say this product will do this for you. They're allowed to say this brand is awesome. This brand is fantastic for this or that. They're not allowed to take a deeper dive into what's your condition. You've experienced PTSD. They can't speak to any of that. Our doctors, with our medical practitioners, we set up that review. So you're now guided through a medical channel that gives you an idea of the product that's best for your condition, the dose that's going to make sense for your therapy. And then, of course, the checkpoints along the way. We have a client care team that supports everyone's questions. You might finish that one session of consultation like, oh, shoot, I forget what I was supposed to do here. Well, Ian and his team can certainly review those questions and make sure that you are connected to the doctor for those follow-ups. Going into a rec store, absolutely. Go get something that's going to be fun on the weekend. You're hanging out camping with your friends, sitting around a bonfire, recreational all day long. But if you're looking at seriously treating an ailment or a condition, this is where our practitioners will certainly give you that guidance and support. And not only that, you're able to have a larger purchasing power. You can actually get in, if the doctor prescribes you a gram a day, that's 30 grams a month, you have that purchasing power on the website to buy that quantity. You can't do that in a rec store.
Okay.
And the big one is, though, I work for a company and my medical coverage does cover medical cannabis, then I'm not out of the pocket for these products. I can reimburse this to my insurance and we get them reimbursed for their products.
Okay. Heritage provides you your product. Are they consistent with it? Like if I am prescribed a ratio of CBD versus THC, am I guaranteed I'm always going to have it available through your business?
That's the relationship we've set up. That's the expectation. They want to service our patients as a priority, making sure that they do have that consistency, that they do have that that availability. There's nothing worse than going on to a website out of stock. That's a key frustration. We have been doing this for 2 years now. We have not run into that problem. In fact, we actually have people that have come to us from certain parts of the country because the product itself is no longer at that recreation store. So they have come to us because of that consistency. They like how that product worked for them. So they're reaching out to us because of the reputation that Heritage has put out there.
Cool. No, I think that's important. You're saying much of the same things past guests have said about the advantages of medical cannabis versus rec. The difficulty, though, of course, is it so easy to walk down the street and get my cannabis from the rec store, right?
Then you're not my customer. My customer is my patient and they want that help, that support and understanding. So if it's of the mindset that you can do it yourself, great. Absolutely. Go to the rec store, pick up what you need. And that's going to be for you, but not, there's a group of people, there's a populace in Canada that it's a little nerve-wracking walking into that room, opening up that door. They may have never been there before. Their experience is completely low. And that is the type of person I want to service and help. And they're, their cannabis journey. They need that support. And in a lot of cases, it's not just that, it's also helping them from a technical standpoint, because logging in and ordering a product, it's not necessarily that easy for a certain population. So we've tried to emulate as much as possible of the Amazon model, where it's you log in, you got your marketplace, put it into the shopping cart, check it out. Very similar to Amazon.
Okay, so let's talk about your services. You keep referring to your customers as patients and clients. What makes your medical cannabis dispensary unique? What services do you provide your customers, your patients?
The education, that's a big one. Why are you using this? Why is CBD even a thing? We do have a great spot on our website that we do ongoing articles and studies and reviews so that people can be connected. We're looking at that being a key priority, because some folks just been told, how many times have you heard this? Oh, I've tried CBD, it didn't work for me. Well, every time I hear that, it's, well, I don't think you were properly coached or supported in to understand why that didn't work for you. It might not have worked for you, but everybody's got a different biodiversity. That's a real thing. But if you give me 2 weeks and we review what your practitioner said to you, I can certainly tell you that you're going to see some sort of educational uplift in your understanding of what's going on with your medical cannabis. And that's a big one. We want to make sure that you are understanding, why am I taking this amount versus that amount? And when should I start seeing some help in my sleep? When should I start? And this is where we have those touch points and support along the way.
Okay, so that's interesting. So walk me through this. I become a medical cannabis user. I have a physician. The physician has referred me to your business, your dispensary. And do I call you? Is there a phone number? Do we do this by live chat? How do I get help from you? And I guess, who's giving the help?
So the help that you're going to be getting, well, let me take you to how do you even get this started? One of the ways in which we do it, we've come across you from just a conversation or group information sessions that we've set up for people. People can come in and join a Zoom review with us, or we might even be, we have certain partners in market, health wellness, wellness clinics. We do sessions and review what medical cannabis is for you. We gather your information and introduce you to our practitioners, or you can reach out to the practitioners on our website, set up an appointment. They'll set up that review. Review that condition, and they'll set up a medical document that's issued to us. That has to go through a Health Canada onboarding process so that we are tracking who the practitioner is, what are they giving you for a prescription and an allotted amount. And then we do a phone call to introduce that, review that medical document, and get you set up on the website. So the first thing we do is continue that education that that consultant has given you. That practitioner has given you a rollout. We're making sure that you understand it. And then we review some of the products that are there with that medical document. And then it moves into a training session on the website. Where are these studies found? If you want to keep connected, here's our social media. If you want to continue education, there's this session available as well. So we have completed our intro call, our first purchase call, our review of when to expect the product. When it arrives, then we have a dosing conversation, quick education on what that is to the medical document that was sent to you, and then X amount in the morning, X amount in the afternoon, and we get that reviewed. Once it's done, it's up to the patient to engage, but there's certain responsibility there. Once they've done the engagement, we check in 2 weeks and just see where everything is at from that 2 week period. So there's 4 touch points that we see from that element, and we want to make sure that we continue those touch points to review the questions that might pop up. I'm a little confused on dosing. I'm not really seeing anything. Should I increase the dosing? Yeah, great question. Let's talk to the practitioner to confirm that that's okay. Yes, that's okay. Yes, let's move forward with a higher dose and let's check in the next week or so. So those touch points are very, very vital to make sure that the patient feels supported, and then that they've got a safe place to ask the questions that they want to ask.
Okay, and who's doing that for you? Do you have employees that are specially trained to provide these insights to cannabis?
So I myself, I'm not a medical doctor. Yes, I was a high school teacher, still certified. I can teach this, but I'm not a doctor. I can't prescribe. I don't do any of the conditional reviews and medical documentation. That falls to our partner, our medical partner at HelloMD. HelloMD is covering all of our patients and clients across Canada, and they do a really good job in getting it set up, reviewing it, and then issuing it to us digitally, and then we're able to support the customer from there.
Okay, so the customer has a primary care provider, the physician who has prescribed it. They get the product from you, and you're there to educate them on the product and to guide them with using the product.
Yeah, and they can also use their own doctors too if they feel comfortable working with their own doctors. We have some documentation that they can present to their own doctors and say, "Hey, I'm thinking about trying out medical cannabis. What do you think?" Some feedback we've seen in market is some of the doctors in market aren't familiar with medical cannabis. They don't want to touch it because they're not properly educated. So that's when the Hello MD team can step up and help out.
Okay. You mentioned that you have touch points, and I'm sort of visualizing. Do you set up a date and say, you know, do you send out a blank email to your customers and say, on Thursday we're having a 50-minute seminar on cannabis, choose to log in if not? So you provide those kind of services?
Yeah, those are information sessions that we do. That we talk to a lot of people. A lot of people have questions. So we try to do at least a forum opportunity if they want to learn a little bit more. It can be on a Zoom call. It can also be done in person with some of these wellness clinics that we're working with. We've set that up so that we can at least give someone an opportunity. If they're already doing it themselves, and they're already researching, as I mentioned earlier, someone wanted a product that they know from Heritage, they do the research on Google, we're set up so that they can set it up themselves as well. So there's that option.
Okay. Now, you were telling us earlier when we first met that you've got some interesting customers that you've been working on. Can you share some stories, or are you able to do that?
Yeah, no.
Some case studies. The thing is, I guess what I'm asking you to do is, can you share a case study?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. My favorite case study that we had was from one of the youngsters that was dealing with epilepsy, just couldn't get it under control, medically speaking. And they were in Victoria, so they were flying in and out of Victoria to the BC Children's Hospital when they were experiencing those events. And it got to the point where the doctors, they were just scratching their head at the BC Children's Hospital and said, "I think it's time for medical cannabis. I'm starting to understand what's available in the market. Let's get you talking to someone in the market." They've come to us. We've been working with them for about a year and a little bit now. And this young fellow was not able to even go to school at that point in time because of his epilepsy. It was just completely controlling his life. Working with the BC Children's Hospital, with their medication and our medication, we were able to control the epilepsy. And I was just talking to his mom, and he was able to start school for the first time and get his education in place, get his social activity in place. And so she's extremely supportive and appreciative of all the work that both the BC Children's Hospital and Tantas Health were able to do together. And that's the stuff that really puts smiles on our faces. This gives us, you know, like we're doing some good stuff. We're helping some good people, and it's opened up even opportunities into the first responders. First responders are some of the toughest, beaten up employees in Canada right now with anxiety and stress and PTSD. And we're seeing a lot of folks looking into different options because some of the products that they're using aren't working for them. So we opened up an opportunity to work with the Calgary Police, and their union has come to the table in supporting their members who are looking for an option for their sleep and PTSD treatment. And we're not doing that alone. We're working with a group out of Kingston, Ontario called Frontline Workers, or sorry, Frontline Forward. Frontline Forward is a group that's supporting all first responders dealing with PTSD. And so we have a great education system from them so that we can work across the country for anyone that wants to talk about their PTSD and coming at it from a medical cannabis standpoint. So a lot of great things opened up in 2023, looking forward to 2024. I think this is going to be a good year for us to tackle that mental health issue. And it's just going to give us an opportunity to continue that education for these folks.
That's a really cool contract to have, because I think that's a underdiagnosed. But mind you, it's interesting because people are starting to hear about it more. And it's interesting, like when you say first responders and our police forces, the RCMP just recently lifted the ban. So RCMP officers can now use cannabis, I think 48 hours or whatever it is before they start, whereas before it was 4 weeks. I can't help but wonder if maybe some of this has to do with the medical side as well.
Well, I think people are complaining enough that they don't feel that they're being supported enough. And Frontline Forward is a brilliant organization for that very support system. And that's what needs to change. And if we can get the right compass to the right direction, these guys are going to have the support they need. We just need to tap into it and make sure that they know that we're here, Frontline Forward's here. We're just wanting to make sure that everyone is aware where we're at and where we're located and how we can help out.
Okay. We're coming to the end of the interview, sir. Is there a question I have not asked you?
Oh, no, I think we covered it. That was a great conversation. I think we got a lot out there. There's I'm sure, stuff to update you along the way. I would love to keep in touch and keep you guys in the know so that everyone knows what's happening. What is Tantus Health doing here today? What's going on? I'd be more than happy to touch base with you along the way and get you guys what you need.
So, Kirk, you know, that's an everyday. We've all heard it. Teacher, comedian, father, rugby player buying into a cannabis company, right? Like, everyone's heard that story.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I'm really thrilled about what he's doing, to the point that when the interview was done, I introduced myself as a job interview. And I said, hey, you know, have you seen my resume? How could I help you guys? As a nurse, I could probably help you guys. So I kind of turned it on him, and it was kind of funny because here we are in the Zoom meeting. He kind of just stopped talking, looking at me, going, "Well, I don't know if I'm looking for employees, Kirk." I said, "No. I'll just send you my resume, anyways." always looking for work.
Absolutely, but I think some of the interesting points to hit on is that so they've got several partners. So we've got HelloMD. So if you want to be involved with Tantus, but you don't have a prescriber, HelloMD can do the prescriber part for you. And they're really heavy. They, Tantus, are really heavy on the education part. You can actually do like seminars and readings and stuff through them. And they'll sort of touch base with you. I think it was like 4 times along the way, just to make sure you're comfortable with everything and the product and how it works and how, which is really good. It sounds a little silly, but you know, especially if you've never had medicinal cannabis before, just having someone touch base with you, did that make sense? And you know, did you have any follow-up questions for the prescriber? You know, when the bottle got there, did the syringe for measuring out the oil, did that work for you? Like I thought those were really good.
I was really thrilled. Oh, by the way, HelloMD, we did an episode with them, episode 54, Hello Cannabis with HelloMD. So just saying, we've also touched base with HelloMD. I really enjoyed the reason why I fired out the resume to him is because I love the fact that he's working with the Calgary Police Association and first responders, and he gave us an organization, First Responders Forward,
Frontline Forward, based on Kingston.
I have not had time to go into that group. I will put a link, and I'll be researching it in the future. But I did mention to him that I spent a fair bit of my professional career as a volunteer firefighter, EMS, ambulance, fire, and also worked at a college training paramedics. So EMS and first responders was a big part of my early career. So there's a part of me that went, oh, I want to talk to you about using cannabis in that field. So that's why I pawned off my resume, because I'm excited for the work that they're doing as a medicinal dispensary with first responders. That's what it really attracts me to this story.
Yeah, no, they had, they've both got a pilot project going with Calgary City Police on PTSD and sleep. And I don't think we got it mentioned during the interview, but it came up during one of our other pre-discussions. I think it's the Vancouver Fire Department is a thing or is going to be a thing shortly with them. And yet another, I don't want to sound like it's a ho-hum, another kid epilepsy story, but another quite you know, touching story about a kid from Victoria who was flying back and forth between Victoria and BC Children's Hospital in Vancouver, looking for a solution to the seizures, and working with Tantus and BC Children's Hospital, seem to have found one to get the kid into school now.
Yeah, they have a very comprehensive webpage, Tantus Health, and they also have a YouTube channel, so that's where they get some of their education. So yeah, a really responsible organization treating cannabis as the medicine it is. And yeah, it's a good story, Trevor.
It is.
You
I was going to say, so maybe that segues into...
Have you hit everything?
We're going to tack a My Cannabis story onto this one. This is one of my, what am I going to call Tyler? Family friend, former babysitter. I'm not trying to out either of our ages, but that babysitting thing was a little while ago. So a friend from my hometown, been in contact on LinkedIn after he found I had a podcast about cannabis. And over Christmas, we were supposed to do a in-person interview when I was out visiting my folks. But unfortunately, when that was supposed to happen, Tyler was sick as a dog, so it couldn't. So we finally got a Zoom thing. And now I got to apologize at the beginning. You know, as a podcaster, you'd think I'd be very attuned to how things sound. When I listened back to the recording of our, my audio was terrible. I think Tyler probably spent the first third of our conversation wondering what the hell I was saying. So through the magic of Renee, we're going to rejig my conversation with Tyler about cannabis and maybe cut out some of the parts where I was completely inaudible. So we'll let Renee do his magic on conversation with Tyler Thomas, My Cannabis Story, and then we'll come back. On the line today, we have Tyler Thomas from my hometown of Pinawa, Manitoba. Tyler, how are you doing?
Good, thanks, man. I'm glad to be on the show.
Oh, we're glad to have you. So, no secret, we've known each other since I was very, very small. Not to give away our respective ages or anything, but, you know, you have babysat me and such things in the past. But, you know, you've also known my parents. We've gone fishing together. It's... on and off for a lot of years. So how about tell people a little bit about yourself, what you sort of did and do, and what's led you into thinking cannabis is a good thing?
Yeah, well, I actually started when I was quite young and it was not legal. But then I quit taking it in the late 90s. When I moved into my new job, because it was not legal, a criminal offense could affect my ability to do my job and lose my license.
Okay.
Then there was the legalization for medicinal. And I want to say about 2 years before they legalized it, I had a medicinal prescription.
Okay.
And it really helps with my various psychosis, mental health issues. Watching your podcast or listening to your podcast, and then a few other people I've started following because of you, led me to being a little more active. I make some of my own edibles now, and it's quite easy. It does smell, but the ease of use. Actually, Trevor, I use an Instapot.
Okay.
I was listening to a couple of things earlier, and they talked about a big pressure cooker, the one in Dauphin.
Yeah, absolutely.
With the freeze-dried dry ice.
And so you did a small-scale pressure cooker and used the Instapot.
Yeah. No alcohol or tinctures or anything like that. It's just straight coconut oil.
Cool. And so... you don't have to give away all your trade secrets, but what's your magic recipe for Instapot extraction?
I do the standard bake it in the oven. I'm using a Keef actually as well, which I happened to find for free.
Nice.
1.5 kilograms.
Okay. I won't ask too many questions.
No, it was literally a byproduct left over from somebody else's processing.
Okay.
And he's a medical grower.
Cool.
We happen to be good friends. He's no longer doing it, unfortunately, though. So when I use up the last, 8 ounces or so. I'll have to find a new source.
All right.
And then I use the Instapot because the mine has a sous vide function.
Okay.
And the recipe I found online said to go to, I think, 340 Fahrenheit or 350. Okay. And mine only goes to 340, but what I made literally puts me on my ass. So I've had to dilute.
All right. And are you taking that oil and taking it straight, or are you cooking it in something?
No, I don't know if you remember, I'm formerly from the restaurant business as well.
Right.
So my favorite is actually the chocolate coconut haystacks.
Okay.
And you can still taste a little bit of cannabis, but I actually toast the coconut.
Oh, nice.
And then I use
truly toasted coconut now.
Yeah. Yes. And then I actually use a really high grade cocoa powder and then the oats. And then I toast the oats as well. So it's double, triple toasted, I guess. And it ends up being a really tasty product. And the hard part is not eating a second one.
Yes. Yeah, we've had that with Kirk and Michelle have made cookies, and that's always the problem too, is not. So,
but I counteract that with the CBD oil.
Okay.
So when I have the munchies and I know those are in the freezer, I actually make sure I take a couple drops of CBD oil to tone down the munchie factor.
Nice. Now you can tell us as little or as much as you want about mental health issues. What were you having, and what did the cannabis do to help them?
Well, I've actually recently found out I've actually always had these problems, but I was able to cope much better when I was younger.
Okay.
Well, cope, but I was coping with marijuana at the time and alcohol, and the alcohol is completely gone.
Okay.
Has been for decades now, which is nice. But I was struggling, and this friend that I got the stuff from actually helped me get back into it.
Okay.
And then I had a better talk with my licensed practitioners for the, I still have my medical. I'm just recently talked to them again, and I'm getting more CBD and CBG and CBN to my prescription, and lowering my THC back down.
All right.
And it actually, ironically, is cheaper.
Good.
Yeah. So going, instead of being about 110 a month, it's going to drop down to 60 a month.
Wow. Like almost half.
Yeah. So, I'm hoping at some point my medical plan will start paying for it, because that's an issue as well.
Well, I was going to ask about that, because I know you have some experience, we'll say, in the insurance industry. Have you had any luck getting stuff covered?
Not with this yet. Otherwise, I have a top line policy, but there's a lot of resistance and pushback still about accepting that, for the same reasons, because doctors aren't prescribing it, or pharmacists aren't prescribing it, which I think is stupid.
Preaching to the choir, but yes, that is definitely an issue. How about physically? We're all getting a little older with various aches, pains, etc. Are you finding any of the cannabis helping with, we'll call it, physical maladies?
Yeah, the CBD oil.
Yeah.
Beats anything I was ever on. I don't know if you remember, I've broken my spine, blew the cartilage out of my left knee, the right ear is the broken inner, the middle bone in the inner ear is broken. So I do have some pain issues, but the CBD oil beats everything I ever took.
Okay.
Just before I had my spinal surgery, I was on a Oxycontin, Demerol, and morphine trifecta, and that would give me 1 hour of sleep.
Oh, that's not much.
No. So I would, and I had to wait six hours between doses, so I would sleep for an hour. I couldn't sit or lay down, and then I had to walk for five.
Okay.
And it was exhausting. I wasn't doing this with the CBD oil then, but I'm compared to the other aches. I got through a year of physiotherapy using the CBD oil after a car accident. So yeah, it's spectacular. Big Pharma's not going to like it.
that's their problem.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll call it mental health wise. It's helping there.
It stabilizes me so much, Trevor.
Good.
Yeah.
Because you've sort of experimented with both, sort of making your own edibles and using some of the commercial stuff, any thoughts on, you know, it's better to eat a haystack during the day and take CBD oil at bedtime, or any sort of thoughts on what works better for you?
Even on my regular prescription, it's really low dose now. It's 2.5 milligrams of sativa,
okay,
and with the THC, morning and afternoon. And then at night I do 2.5 milligrams of indica. And I don't remember the changes to the CBD and this, all the other cannabinoids. Is that the right word?
Cannabinoids, yeah.
Yeah. It's also tweaked slightly differently for daytime and nighttime. My edibles and stuff are purely recreational.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
And when you're doing the medicinal stuff, are you inhaling any of it, or is it all oral?
In the inhale still, because you can't do it publicly in the confines of your own home is the rule, so to speak, and makes it difficult. Although I do have an old man pipe.
Okay.
It looks just like a tobacco pipe, but it's a pot pipe.
Okay.
Yeah. Until people get close enough to smell it, they think I'm smoking a pipe.
And that's just fine.
Yeah.
So, because you've kind of been through it, especially with, with the car accident, if somebody is listening to this for the first time and they're thinking, hey, I want to try some of this cannabis stuff, we'll say for pain, any thoughts on how would you'd it's not medical advice, but just from your experience, what worked for you, what would be a good way to start?
I literally used I have a friend that told me about this. It's so cheap. It was $21. And that's over 3 months now, Trevor.
Okay.
So it's not an expensive experiment. Some people tell me that hasn't worked for them, but I asked them, they literally did one drop. I mean, you should start there. But it's just like some of the pain medicines, prescription-wise, you have to take it for a couple of days for it to start working, depending on your individual uptake of the your receptors accepting the medication.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah. And I'm quite persuasive.
Yeah. Yes, you've always been able to talk. That's absolutely.
I used to sell a product that nobody wanted to ever use.
Yes.
Being the insurance. So, I mean, it's varying results for everybody. But, I mean, the effects of the other ones that I was getting from my doctors, I'm missing a whole year of my life in my memory bank from the Oxy thing.
Okay.
Like, I remember nothing from that entire year.
Yeah.
And given my job, that's a little scary.
Yeah.
Although when I did review my files afterwards, I didn't find any mistakes, but it was still at the back of my mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Tyler, this has been a lovely chat. It's been nice to catch up with you. Anything else you think the listeners need to know about you in particular, or more importantly, sort of cannabis use for either mental health or physical pain?
Just a little bit, because you've talked, like, you guys can't necessarily prescribe, right?
Yeah, it's complicated, but yeah, doctors can prescribe, but at the moment they can't. It's not supposed to be in pharmacies,
right? The just reach out and find the licensed practitioner nurses. They're all over the place. They'll do an interview just like this, and you tell them their problems, and they were so good at helping me out.
So this was like a telemedicine thing to a nurse. Do you mind telling us which system, which group you used?
If you can remember.
I don't remember. I actually have to search my emails when I go to renew every year.
Okay. No, fair enough.
they referred several different pharmacies to get it from, the online ones. That one I know is Spectrum Scientific or Spectrum Therapeutic.
Spectrum Therapeutics, yeah.
Calling them to remind me who my nurse practitioner is.
Nope, fair enough.
Yeah. But thank you for your time, sir. It's been a great day.
So he's at the time seemed immensely older than me. So he literally babysat me when we used to live literally next door to him, and he was a babysitter / older person in town. Like, you know, I knew him as a cook at some of the local restaurants, and as we got a little older, I've been fishing with him. He's been fishing with my dad. He ran a business in town, and one of his sort of side gigs was he looked after houses of snowbirds. And for a while, my parents were snowbirds, so, you know, he was a looker-inner on my parents' house when they weren't there. So kind of traveling in parallel paths. Absolutely older, friendly acquaintance when I was younger, and now our age differences don't seem to be nearly so vast. And sure, I'll call him a friend of mine.
Cool. That's kind of cool how that is. I have a few of my father's friends that over time became acquaintances, strong acquaintances of mine that weren't necessarily, you know, I wasn't necessarily the son of Len. I was an acquaintance of theirs. So yeah, it's kind of cool when that kind of stuff happens.
It is. So, did you find the email from Tantis, from Ian, about music on this one?
I thought I'd reach back to an old band I listened to on the West Coast, and hopefully Ian likes this. And I thought we'd go to the Powder Blues Band.
That sounds good.
When I was a kid, college student, Powder Blues was huge on college radio. So reach back to their first album, and I saw them play this live in Victoria, and the Bounty Hunters motorcycle gang were the security, and it was in the Esquimalt Arena, for those people who reach back to 1980, and it's the song called Bopping with the Blues. So I was going to suggest Doing It Right on the Wrong Side of Town, but that's people might know that song. People might know them through Thirsty Ears, but Bopping with the Blues for me, I like to move to music. If anybody's ever seen me on a dance floor, I like to move, and Bopping with the Blues is a good song. So let's do Bopping with the Blues.
All right, Bopping with the Blues, and we will see everyone next time. It's been another good one.
Like the show? Let us know. We're Reefer Madness on Instagram and Facebook, at Reefer Madness on Twitter, or head over to the website at reefermed.ca to find out what we're all about and what's coming up next. Talk to you later.
I used to have a girl, I loved her so. Something caught her eye and she left me cold. It hurt so bad. I used to spend my nights all alone at home, crying as I sat by my television.
we will see everyone next time. It's been another good one. Oh, who are you again?
Okay, but I'm Kirk Nyquist. I'm Kirk Nyquist. I'm the registered nurse.
I'm Trevor Shufeld. I'm the pharmacist, and we keep forgetting to do our outro.